It's week 8 of the 2025 college football season, and we got to make some predictions on the 10 biggest games.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Welcome in. It's Winning Cures Everything. It's a college football podcast. I'm your host, Gary Seegers, at GaryWCE on all the different socials, most active on X, per the usual. If this is your first time here, thank you for joining. Make sure and hit that subscribe button and the like button. You help support the one-man show here. We're not going to waste a lot of time. We got 10 games. Let's jump into it. 7 p.m. Central Time, God's time zone, on Fox. Utah goes to Provo. They're going to take on BYU. This is the Holy War, if you were not familiar with that. Utah currently a 3.5-point road favorite, total of 49 on this. BYU won last year's meeting 22-21. That was in Salt Lake City. These are the first back-to-back wins for BYU in the series, 21 and 2024. Since 2006-2007, it's pretty crazy. The underdog in this series, 18-6 against the spread since 1997. I'll be able to read my writing one of these days. So let's dive into some numbers. Let's see what's up. I have got BYU favored by 1.92 points based on the stats projected spread. The last 4 weeks would have BYU favored by 10. Power rating, I've got Utah favored by 1. Now, I don't know if there were some injuries that came out. I haven't seen anything, but I'm certain the BYU probably got banged up against Arizona. There's got to be something there. Otherwise, there's no reason why Utah would be favored by 3.5 points here on the road. Yes, Utah is a more talented team, number 36 in overall team talent per on three, compared to number 72 for BYU. But these are two, as far as statistics go, these are two of the best 8 teams in the country. Number 6 in PPA margin is Utah. Number 8 is BYU. PPA margin, for those not familiar, predicted points added. So it's just a number that basically assigns a point value to every play in a game, and these two are really, really good. And you can tell that by looking at their 5 factors rank. BYU number 37, Utah number 23 in raw 5 factors rank. And if you want to get familiar with the 5 factors, just Google Football Study Hall 5 Factors. It'll pull it up. Bill Connelly wrote it back in 2014. There's like 5 phases to a football game where if you win those phases, you are significantly more likely to win the game. I turned it into a rating system, is what it is. All right, so looking at this, Utah number 5 in offensive success rate. They are not great at throwing the football. They are successful doing it. They're number 2 in passing success rate, but they're number 89 in yards per pass attempt, so they don't exactly try a lot of stuff down the field. Number 117 in passing explosiveness. BYU's defense, number 15 in PPA allowed per pass, number 19 in yards allowed per attempt, number 8 in QBR allowed. They are number 19 in passing success rate allowed, so they are good at defending that. Utah, really good at running the football. Number 19 in yards per rush, number 3 in rushing success rate. BYU's defense, number 14 in yards allowed per rush, number 39 in rushing success rate allowed. On the other side of the ball, when BYU has the ball, they don't throw it very much. Less than 40% is how often they throw it. they trust Bear Bachmeier, the freshman, to hand it off. So they run the ball a lot. They're number 13 in the country in rush rate. 60.96% of the time are they running the football. 0.33 PPA per rush. That's good for 8th in the country. Number 14 in yards per rush. Utah's defense has not been great at defending the run. Number 76 in PPA per rush, or allowed per rush. Number 74 in yards allowed per rush. They're number 31 in rushing success, so that's pretty good. But they're number 115 in rushing explosiveness allowed. A lot of those numbers, I think, came from the Texas Tech game. Just a guess. But Utah, number 5 in offensive success rate. Number 11 in defensive success rate. BYU, number 21 in offensive success rate. Number 26 in defensive success rate. These two teams, they're pretty close, right? BYU, again, number 37 in 5 factors. Utah, 23. And yeah, we can talk about, the narrative has been BYU hadn't played anybody. Number 86 in strength of schedule. Well, the only team that was worth a crap that Utah played really is Texas Tech, and they got their brains beat in. And you can say, well, Dampier was hurt. He wasn't 100%. Then they played Arizona State last week and played them without their starting quarterback and had them at home. So, tomato, potato here, right? At least to me. I think 3.5 is way too many for a game like this. Especially when my numbers say, now this is barring any injury that I don't know about at this point, but looking at these numbers, I think BYU has a chance to make it 3 in a row here, and they're at home. 3.5 is too much. Give me the Cougars, plus 3.5. 6:30 p.m. Central Time on ABC. It's the third Saturday in October. Tennessee goes to Alabama, where they have not won since 2003. And boy, do I remember that. 4th and 18, 4th and 17, and Casey Clausen completes a pass that gives Tennessee new life and won the game in 5 overtimes against Mike Shula's bunch. Regardless, last year, Tennessee won this game 24-17. They were down 7-0 at the half. The year before that, Alabama came back from a 20-7 halftime deficit and won the game 34-20. That apparently halftime means nothing to these two teams. Alabama is an 8 to 9.5 point favorite, depending on the book. You can get any number in there. 8, 8.5, 9, 9.5. Total is around 58.5. I believe you can get a 59 out there if you want to. The Vols have not won in Tuscaloosa since 2003. Last time they were in Tuscaloosa, I already talked about that. Bama last year only had 2.2 yards per rush in Knoxville last year. Can Tennessee do that again? I don't think so. They are pretty good at defending the run. They're pretty terrible at defending the pass. My numbers have Alabama favored by 4 based on the last 4 weeks. I mean, my stats projected spread is right at the 9.5. Power rating, I've got Bama by 10. But again, this is one of those spots where Alabama has played 3 straight ranked opponents. Tennessee had a bye week, and then they had Arkansas at home. Strength of schedule, Alabama number 2 in the country, Tennessee number 47. So there is a big difference there. And the crazy thing about the strength of schedule is Tennessee, their offense has certainly treated these teams like you're supposed to treat lesser thans, right? Number 10 in offensive success rate. Number 11 in offensive PPA per drive. That's predicted points added per drive. They are smoking teams when they are on offense. Number 11 in PPA per pass. Number 16 in yards per pass attempt. So Aguilar, certainly willing to throw it up. Number 99 in giveaways per game. They're number 67 in interceptions thrown per pass. So Bama secondary will have some chances to take the ball away. But they are number 26 in QBR, number 36 in passing success, number 42 in passing explosiveness. Yeah, there's going to be some holes in that Alabama secondary. Number 71 in passing success rate allowed, number 71 in passing explosiveness allowed. But again, number 11 in interceptions per pass attempt. As far as running the ball, that's how you are supposed to stop a Tennessee offense, a Josh Heupel offense. You got to be able to defend the run. Tennessee, number 36 in yards per rush, number 11 in rushing success rate. Alabama, number 104 in yards allowed per rush, number 47 in rushing success rate allowed. Stuff rate, Tennessee's offense, number 14 in stuff rate allowed. Alabama, only number 103 in stuff rate. So you are probably going to be able to run the ball on this Alabama defense, which may open up some things in the secondary. You look on the other side, Tennessee, number 98 in defensive success rate allowed, number 118 in rushing success allowed. Alabama has not been good at running the ball. We don't know if Jam Miller's going to play. He went out with a concussion towards the end of the Missouri game. But number 118 in rushing explosiveness for Alabama, number 108 in rushing success rate, number 96 in yards per rush, they know they're not good at running the ball, so they don't do it very often. 47% of the time do they run the ball. Number 98 in the country in rush rate. So Bama throws it. Tennessee is not great at defending the pass. Number 81 in PPA allowed per pass. Number 66 in passing success rate allowed. Alabama in those two metrics, number 7 and number 25. Bama's number 15 in yards per pass attempt. Tennessee's defense, number 65. Bama, number 7 in passing explosiveness. Tennessee, number 66. Total on this is 58.5 to 59. That's down from 59.5. I've got a total of like 70 on this. I've got a score of Bama 40, Tennessee 30. I don't think we're necessarily going to see it quite that high, but which one of these teams is going to be able to stop the other one? Like, that's, I think that's the question. Certainly Alabama has played a tougher level of competition, but you know that Josh Heupel knows how to attack this kind of a defense. Tennessee, number 5 in special teams efficiency. Alabama, number 78. Bama, number 1 in overall talent rank. Tennessee, number 8. And then you get to 5 factors rank. Bama, number 6. Tennessee, number 22. So, and its strength of schedule is weighted in there. So that certainly plays into it. This is such an interesting spot. Tennessee significantly worse in the second halves. Second half point margin. Bama number 27. Tennessee number 65. Negative 0.4 points average in the second half of games this year. Bama has some advantages here. Certainly turnovers being one of them. But penalties per game is one of them. You know, net explosiveness. Tennessee's got an advantage there. This is going to be a tight game, and could Alabama cover? Absolutely. You hit enough explosive plays, yes, sure, but Tennessee can hit explosives too. I think we're going to see a tight game. Again, tough schedule spot for Alabama, fourth straight ranked opponent that they're playing, and all of the games before this have been tight. I think Tennessee's going to hang around, so give me the Vols. Best number I can get is 9.5. I'll take Tennessee plus 9.5.
Are you tired of sore knees or joints slowing you down? Ghost Sleeves uses built-in kinesiology tape technology to give you support, reduce pain, and help you recover faster. Use code WCE for 15% off over at ghostsleeves.com.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
6:30 p.m. Central Time, God's time zone, of course, on NBC. USC travels to South Bend to take on Notre Dame. Notre Dame, a 9.5-point home favorite, total of 61.5 on this. It is the 93rd meeting between these two. Last year, Notre Dame won this game 49-35, thanks in part to two pick sixes late in that ballgame by Jaden Maiva, especially that one going into the end zone. That was brutal. Brutal beat for anybody that had USC plus 7.5, I think it was. It was pretty rough. USC 1-5 against the spread in their last six in South Bend. The home team in this series is 9-2 against the spread dating back to 2013. So, of course, Notre Dame being the home team, here we go. Notre Dame, a 9.5-point favorite. This opened at 7.5. At 61.5, the total has not moved. I've got a stats projected total of 71. Notre Dame defense has certainly come to play the last few weeks. They have looked a lot better. Granted, the competition has not been great. They got four interceptions off of Maddox Madsen from Boise State, and then C.J. Bailey threw them three more last week with NC State. They only gave up 7 points to each of those teams, Boise and NC State. But how much of that is competition compared to two not great football teams? Obviously, we'll see. I've got Notre Dame stats projected favored by 4.9. My power rating has Notre Dame by 8.5, and the last 4 weeks' stats would have USC favored by 8.69 points. USC has looked pretty good, even with the loss on the road to Illinois. Schedule spot was weird there, but regardless, this Notre Dame offense has been pretty good. Number 34 in offensive success rate, number 4 in passing success rate, only number 64 in rushing success. That is one that will make you question things, because they are, you know, Love and that bunch should be better than they are. But number 64 in rushing success, they are number 40 in yards per rush. They run the ball the 46th most in the country, almost 55% of the time. Number 21 in rushing explosiveness. The issue, they're number 87 in offensive line yards, number 113 in stuff rate allowed. So the offensive line is not exactly helping them. As far as C.J. Carr goes, the quarterback, number 13 in PPA per pass, number 5 in yards per pass attempt, number 7 in QBR, they can smoke USC throwing the football. On the other side, USC can kind of do some of the same. Lincoln Riley is going to have a plan here. USC is number 1 in PPA per pass, number 3 in yards per pass attempt, number 5 in QBR. Notre Dame's defense in those metrics, number 45, number 83, number 53. Teams are throwing all over Notre Dame because they can. But also Notre Dame, you can run on them as well if you would like to. Number 111 in offensive line yards allowed is Notre Dame's defense. Number 113 in stuff rate. We're going to see how USC does without their star running back. That's an interesting spot. I think that's probably why the line has gone up the way that it has, but I still think USC is going to be able to throw the ball around. You start digging into, you know, five factors. Notre Dame is number 8, USC number 26. Point margin, USC number 2 in the first half, Notre Dame is number 34. USC number 8 in second half point margin, Notre Dame number 4. This is an interesting spot because I think, you know, you look at turnover margin. The thing that has helped Notre Dame the most these past 2 weeks has been the fact that teams are throwing them interceptions. Notre Dame is number 4 in interceptions per pass attempt. USC is only number 15 in interceptions thrown per pass attempt. They are number 29 in turnover margin. Notre Dame is number 8. I don't think you're going to see a ton of turnovers in this game. Obviously, I could be wrong, but we will see. Pace of play, both of these teams go pretty slow, especially for how efficient their offenses are. Number 83 for Notre Dame, number 97 for USC. Even without their stud running back, I still think USC will find a way to keep this thing relatively close. A lot of love on Notre Dame this week. Yes, Notre Dame needs this one to remain in the playoff hunt. USC also probably needs it to remain in the playoff hunt. They still got Oregon left. They still got some pretty big Big Ten teams. This is a, I guess you could call it that, a playoff elimination game. All of my numbers stay within the 9.5. I'm going to roll with it. Give me USC plus 8.5, or plus, 9.5 here. College game day is headed over to Athens, Georgia. That's right. Ole Miss taking on the Georgia Bulldogs, 2:30 p.m. Central Time on ABC. Georgia currently a 7-point home favorite, total of 54.5. Last year, Ole Miss won this game 28-10 in Oxford. The home team has covered the last 2 years. Georgia put up like 52 points on this bunch back in 2023. Georgia 1-4 against the spread the week before bye games. The last five under Kirby Smart. Kind of surprising when you think about it, unless, you know, you start digging into who the teams are that they've played. All right, let's dig into some numbers here. This thing was 6.5. It's gone up to 7, so a lot of love for Georgia in the market, which is interesting considering how they played last week in Auburn. Granted, that was in Jordan-Hare. And somehow, the Jordan-Hare magic continued for Georgia, not for Auburn. Even still, Ole Miss looked like complete dog crap last week against Washington State. I'm chalking that up to the fact that they had Georgia on deck. They didn't care. They just did not care at all about that game. Ole Miss number 25 in PPA margin. Georgia number 48. But there is a huge discrepancy here. Current strength of schedule, Georgia number 8. Ole Miss number 63. Some of these SEC schedules, obviously Ole Miss's will improve. But man, there's a big discrepancy. When you've got Georgia against Alabama, Georgia against Tennessee, Georgia at Auburn early in the season, I mean, we're just now into week 8. That would normally be like the three biggest games on Georgia's schedule, aside from the Florida game. Ole Miss, like Arkansas, okay, you know, LSU at home, and LSU can't score. So, I mean, what are we talking about? I've got Georgia favored by 5.6 points. I've got Georgia power rated by 7.4 points. Based on the last 4 weeks of numbers, I've got Ole Miss by 6.31. Now, that is opponent adjusted. But even an opponent adjustment can't always get to the right number. My stats projected score is 31-20, we'll call it 25.5. In favor of Georgia, which does not reach the 7 points. You start digging into some of these numbers. Georgia number 32 in offensive success rate, but they're number 60 in passing success, number 57 in rushing success, number 31 in defensive success rate. The problem is they are number 85 against the pass, number 9 against the run. Ole Miss is not as good running the ball as they are passing the ball. Georgia is going to have success running the football. Let's talk about Georgia being on offense first. They are number 36 in the country in rush rate. They run the ball almost 56% of the time. Ole Miss, number 124 in PPA allowed per rush, number 115 in yards allowed per rush, number 109 in rushing success, number 103 in rushing explosiveness, number 127 in offensive line yards allowed, number 117 in stuff rate allowed. Georgia, just some of these numbers. Number 53 in PPA per rush, 47 in yards per rush, number 57 in rushing success, 66 in rushing explosion. These are pretty average, middle-of-the-road numbers. But when you're going up against a defensive line that cannot slow down anybody, that's a problem. So I expect Georgia to be able to run, and by running, you're going to open up something in the passing game. When Ole Miss is on offense, they're going to be looking to throw the football, and they're going to be looking to throw it a lot. They don't always do that. They want to run the football. They are number 26 in rush rate. They run the ball over 57% of the time. But when you've got a secondary like Georgia's that leaves holes open, this Trinidad Chambliss kid is going to find some guys in zones, or he's going to find them in man-to-man. Number 6 in PPA per pass for Ole Miss. Number 5 in yards per pass attempt. Georgia's defense, number 78, number 77 in those. Passing success rate, Ole Miss, number 6. Georgia, number 85. Lane Kiffin is smart enough to understand where he has an advantage. These two teams, not great as far as holding on to the football or generating turnovers. Ole Miss, number 112 in turnover margin. Georgia, number 79. Georgia is number 23 in penalties per game. Ole Miss, number 119 in penalties per game. Both of them outside the top 40 as far as opponent penalties per game, or I guess you could call it top 50, whatever you want to call it. You start digging into five factors. Ole Miss, number 35. Georgia is number 10. Overall, Georgia is a better football team. They are more talented. They are more efficient. They've played a tougher strength of schedule, etc. The number is getting a little bit crazy, and I think the fact that Ole Miss just kind of gave that one up last week, didn't care at all about Washington State, lets me know that they have been planning on this game for 3 weeks. And you know, I mean, there is a story here with both of these being on the Alabama coaching staff in 2014-2015. Very interesting. There's a lot in that Saban tree here. I hate the number. You can get a 7.5 out there. I'm probably going to take that. I think Ole Miss has got some stuff up their sleeve for Georgia. And I think they can keep it within the 7.5. So, you know, there's a 7.5 out there. I will take that one. This thing's going to continue to climb. If I'm going to bet it, I'll probably wait and see if there's like an 8, 8.5, because Georgia's going to get a lot of love in the market this week, especially based on how Ole Miss played last week. Give me Ole Miss. I'll take the Rebels plus 7.5 on the road.
Are you looking to catch your favorite team or concert live? Ticket Smarter makes buying tickets safe and simple. And with our promo code, you save big. Use WCE10 for $10 off an order of $100 or more, or WCE20 for $20 off $300 or more. Grab your tickets now at Ticket Smarter.
All right, if you haven't already, go ahead, like the video, subscribe to the channel, and jump in the comments. That would help me out for sure. This is a one-man operation here. I do all of it. All the editing, all the audio stuff, all the video, all the graphics, whatever. It's all me. So, and the way that you can thank me, which you don't have to do, I just enjoy doing this. But if you want to, click that like button, jump in the comments, and of course, subscribe. There's still over 50% of you that are watching that are not subscribed to the channel. So, do me that favor. Game number 5 at Texas Tech is going to Arizona State, 3 p.m. Central Time on Fox. Texas Tech, an 11.5-point favorite, total of 48.5. Tech won this game last year in Lubbock, 30-22. They were the only Big 12 team that beat Arizona State, one of only 3 teams that beat Arizona State overall. I take that back. Arizona State had 2 Big 12 losses, regardless. They didn't lose a lot last year. Tech was one of the losses. Arizona State did outgain them in that game, 376-334. It is the 5th regular season meeting between these two teams. The home team is 4-0 straight up. And now you've got the road team favored by 2 scores. Very interesting. Let's look at some numbers. Sam Leavitt did not play last week against Utah. Arizona State went to Salt Lake City and just got their doors blown off. Texas Tech went to Salt Lake City a few weeks ago and blew the doors off of Utah. Vastly different circumstances. One of those was at 11 a.m. The other was basically 11 p.m. And on top of that, Utah had a healthy quarterback last week. Arizona State didn't. And Utah did not have a healthy quarterback against Texas Tech. Now, we can say, well, that shouldn't matter because Texas Tech, their quarterback got knocked out. Their backup came in and probably played better than the starter. It is what it is. Texas Tech has been really, really good, but they're number 61 in current strength of schedule. Arizona State, number 27 in current strength of schedule. These are some bad numbers for Arizona State. Every time they've stepped up in class, they have not looked very good. Probably should have lost the TCU game. Did lose the Arizona State or the Mississippi State game. They did get blasted by Utah. Texas Tech is undefeated. There's nobody projected to be within a touchdown of these guys. They're number 23 in overall talent rank. Arizona State is number 50. Arizona State is dead last in the country in SP plus special teams efficiency. Texas Tech is number 20 in that. Texas Tech number 8 in turnover margin. Arizona State number 20. Both teams outside the top 115 in penalties per game. That's not great. Texas Tech doesn't even draw opponent penalties per game, and none of it matters because they just thrash everybody. Five factors rank. Texas Tech is number 14. Arizona State number 77. You look at first half point margin, and that's where I would probably play this. Texas Tech number 1 in the country in first half point margin. Arizona State number 101. We don't know if Sam Levitt's going to play. I don't even necessarily know that it matters because you're looking at Texas Tech, who is top 15 in offensive and defensive success rate, and Arizona State is outside the top 85 in both offensive and defensive success rate. Even with this game being at home, like my number has Texas Tech minus 16. That's the projected stat spread. My power rating has Texas Tech minus 8.6. My last 4 weeks' numbers, Texas Tech by 4 touchdowns. I'll go with some recency bias. I don't look for Texas Tech to take their foot off the pedal. Like, this is last year's Big 12 champ. If you needed any kind of extra motivation, that should just about do it. So, yeah, this was at 10.5. It's up to 11.5. Total of 48.5. I've got a projected total of 59. I think Tech could reach 48.5 by themselves. Give me Texas Tech. Even on the road, I don't think 11.5 is enough. I think they blast these guys. So I will take the Red Raiders. 11 a.m. Central Time, big noon kickoff. Washington travels across the country to take on the Michigan Wolverines. And Michigan, currently a 5.5 to 6.5 point favorite, depending on the book. Total of 50.5 on this. Last year, Washington won this game in Seattle 27-17. Of course, Michigan won the national title over Washington just 2 years ago. That was in, well, the 2023 season. Wolverines 4-1 straight up against Washington in Ann Arbor. Washington 0-5 against the spread, their last 5 trips to different time zones. Michigan just 3-2 against the spread as a Big Ten home favorite under Sharon Moore. So they've covered some. They haven't been great. My stats projected numbers have Michigan favored by 3.21. My power rating has Michigan by 4.7. Last 4 weeks, I've only got Michigan favored by 1.66 points. Washington, a not nearly as strong strength of schedule. Number 42 there. Michigan is number 7. Let's go down and look at, all right, so overall talent rank, Michigan number 17, Washington number 27. Five factors rank, Michigan number 16, Washington number 20. There is a reason why Michigan is favored in this spot. You start looking at, you know, just different position groups and whatnot, and there is certainly an advantage for Michigan in some of these spots. Number 12 defensive line against Washington's number 34 offensive line. Michigan number 38 offensive line against Washington number 68 defensive line. And that's where it could get interesting because Washington has been really good against the run this year. Number 29 PPA allowed per rush. They are number 24 in rushing success rate, but they are number 1 in the country in rush rate against. Teams are only running the ball 37.86% of the time against them. That's because they are not great at stopping the pass. Number 93 in passing explosiveness allowed. Number 93 in passing success rate allowed. The problem for Michigan is that they're not great at throwing the football. Number 119 in passing explosiveness. Number 93 in QBR. But they should be able to have some success against this Washington defense. Even just a little bit of success is going to open up the running game, where they are number 6 in yards per rush. They're number 27 in rushing success rate. They run the ball over 56% of the time. Number 30 in offensive line yards. Number 30 in stuff rate allowed. Michigan will have success on the ground. I think we can go ahead and say that. On the other side, Washington's offense has been awesome. But they're number 44 in rush rate. They run the ball almost 55% of the time. Some of that is with the quarterback. Of course, Desmond Williams, really good. But are you going to want to run it against this Michigan defensive line? Yeah, I'm not totally sure about that, or against these linebackers. Michigan's got really good linebackers. Michigan number 4 in yards allowed per rush. Washington is number 43 in that metric. But Washington number 12 in PPA per rush. Michigan number 31. Washington is going to be able to throw the football on Michigan. Michigan number 113 in passing success rate allowed. Washington number 11. But Washington only throws the ball 45% of the time. Now, remember, it's not like NFL stats. You drop back for a sack or your quarterback scrambles, those are considered running. In this spot, you know, it's not, it does not count against the passing stats. I'll say that. But Michigan is terrible at stopping the pass. And USC was able to take advantage of that last week. You saw Jed Maiva just absolutely destroy them. Michigan is number 8 in the country in penalties per game. Washington number 70. But Michigan also not very good at drawing penalties. Number 136, dead last in the country in opponent penalties per game. Washington is number 105 in that. So we shouldn't see a lot of penalties. Turnover margin, neither one of these teams turns it over very much. This number is a little bit pushed out there because, one, Washington has not covered in their last 5 to different time zones. And two, this is a 9 a.m. body clock game for Washington. They went to Maryland. They ended up winning the game, but they were down 20-3, I believe, at one point. They won the game 24-20, but they had to score 21 points in the fourth quarter in order to get that comeback. You get down here, you could be in a whole mess of trouble. So I'm going to look at this. I still think Washington can hang here, but based on the fact that they have not looked good going to different time zones, along with the fact that Michigan needs a big bounce-back win, 5.5 sounds crazy, but I'll go on and take it. Give me Michigan minus 5.5. I think they're going to be able to run the ball. They got to be able to bounce back, especially in the big house. Early body clock game, I'll take the Wolverines minus 5.5.
Stop guessing and start winning. Stochastic provides advanced data and strategies for DFS players and bettors built by pros who know how to find edges. Click the link in the description and sign up today.
If you want these fancy stat projection sheets, you can get them over at buymeacoffee.com/winningcures. I've also got a really cool matchup comparison tool where you can figure out what the spread would be. You can look at what each team is good at, etc. So if you wanted a hypothetical SEC title match between Alabama and Texas A&M, what would that look like? You can go take a look. It's right there. So I share out the link every week along with all of these different stat sheets, along with a lot of other stuff as well, and my official place. So if you want all of that, you can do that $5 a month, $50 for the year over at buymeacoffee.com/winningcures. Also, if you're watching this, hit that subscribe button if you hadn't already done that. Some of you might think you're subscribed, but you're actually not. So hit the subscribe button or just check it to see if you are. If you're not, go ahead and subscribe. Like the video, jump into the comments, and of course, subscribe to the podcast as well. I do some things over there that you're not going to get here on YouTube. Moving along, 11 a.m. Central Time on ESPN2, Baylor goes to TCU. TCU is a 3-point home favorite, total of 66. It's the 121st edition of the Blue Bonnet Battle, a.k.a. the Revivalry, if you would. 37-34 Baylor win last year in Waco. TCU now 8-2 straight up in the last 10 meetings, 6-2 straight up and against the spread as the host in the last 8 meetings in Fort Worth. Since 2018, Baylor 18-8 against the spread as a single-digit dog in Big 12 competition. Baylor is coming off of a bye. TCU got kind of shellacked by Kansas State last week. I think that's fair to say. Both of these teams, kind of mediocre strength schedule. TCU number 60, Baylor number 65. TCU, I have as a 4.72-point projected stats favorite here. My power rating has TCU by 4.6, but based on stats from the last 4 weeks, I've got Baylor minus 11.3. Baylor has played significantly better than TCU as of late. All right, let's take a look. Baylor, number 39 in PPA margin. TCU, number 58. Now, part of this is because TCU's offense is right on par with Baylor's, but their defense has been awful. Number 102 in PPA allowed per drive. That's predicted points added per drive. Defensive success rate, TCU is number 68, but they're number 112 against the pass. That is bad news when you were going up against Sawyer Robertson and that bunch. TCU, number 107 in yards allowed per pass attempt. Baylor's number 38 on offense. TCU, number 114 in QBR allowed. Baylor's number 38. Passing success rate, Baylor's offense is number 10. TCU's defense, number 112. You kind of get the idea here. It's not great. And TCU, not going to be able to get after the quarterback. Baylor doesn't even really pretend to try and do anything other than pass the ball. They're number 8 in pass rate in the country. Almost 60% of the time they're throwing it. They're number 129 in rush rate. Yeah, that's going to be trouble. On the other side, Baylor is not great at defending the pass, but they are a little bit better than TCU's defense. TCU number 29 in PPA per pass, number 21 in yards per attempt. Baylor is number 75 and number 77 in those stats on defense. TCU number 3 in passing explosiveness. On offense, Baylor's defense, number 69 in passing explosiveness allowed. Both of these teams are going to be able to score. And somehow, with this total being, it opened at 66.5, it's at 66 now. My stats projected total has it at 57. Pace of play for these two. TCU, number 13. Baylor, number 6. This feels like it should be an over. Why? It's not. I have no idea. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Baylor, number 112 in turnover margin. They're number 109 in giveaways per game. TCU is number 56. So TCU really good at taking the ball away, number 28 in takeaways per game, but they are number 99 in giveaways per game. Both teams outside the top 70 in penalties per game. You start diving into like five factors. TCU is significantly better in the things that actually win ball games for you. TCU number 39 in five factors plus talent. Baylor is number 60. TCU significantly better in the second half than they are in the first half. TCU is number 57 in first half point margin, number 7 in second half. Baylor number 34 in first half point margin, number 27 in second half. This is going to be a close ball game. And yes, Baylor has played better as of late. But Sonny Dykes understands the importance of this game. And while Baylor won it last year, I think TCU being at home will be the difference. This thing is, it's threes across the board. You can't get a 3.5, you can't get a 2.5, so it might just fall 3. But if I was going to take a swing with a team, I'll go TCU. Give me the Horned Frogs minus 3 at home. 6 p.m. Central on Peacock, and we have got the corpse of the Penn State Nittany Lions heading to Kinnick Stadium to take on Iowa. Night game in Kinnick. I'm certain that's just what the doctor ordered for Penn State the week that they fired James Franklin. They also have Ohio State coming up after a bye week. There's all kind of problems here. All kind of problems. Iowa is a 2.5 to 3 point favorite, depending on the book. Total of 39.5. The last meeting between these two was a 31-0 Penn State win in 2023 in Happy Valley. Penn State 2-5 against the spread in Kinnick since 2003. Now, granted, the last time that they went to Kinnick was 2021. I believe it was. It was the year after the COVID year, and Iowa got the win. It was a battle of, what, top 5 teams, top 10 teams? It was pretty cool. Sean Clifford, that whole mess, they brought in a backup quarterback at the end of the game. It is what it is. Kinnick magic, if you will. I still love the waving, right? And I did not have this switched, so now we got it. We're good to go now. Let's look at some numbers. Stats projected spread, I've got Iowa favored by 4. Power rating, I've got Iowa by 4.3. Based on the last 4 weeks of stats, I have Iowa favored by 13.2. That just feels bananas. This thing did open at 3.5. There is, we've seen some teams come in with a interim coach bump, right? Virginia Tech won their first game of the season the week after they fired their coach. Arkansas only lost by 3. They were a double-digit dog on the road at Tennessee last week. Petrino comes in, they get the bump. Does Penn State have anything in the tank? That's the question. You start diving into numbers. They're number 99 in strength of record, number 89 in strength of schedule, which is crazy to think about. They've played, in all honesty, one good team, and that's Oregon. Iowa, on the other hand, number 37 in strength of schedule, number 36 in strength of record. Iowa is 4-2 straight up, 4-1-1 against the spread. Penn State has not covered a spread yet. 0-6 against the spread, 3-3 straight up. Five factors rank. Iowa is number 15 at the things that it takes to win a football game. Penn State is number 33. I find that very interesting. You start diving into, you know, the things that Penn State are good at, and especially without Drew Aller, right? I don't think they got a dude at quarterback right now. Penn State is going to be running the ball a lot, and you trying to do that against a Phil Parker defense, just think about this. You've got a freshman quarterback. Pretty sure it's a freshman. It could be whoever it is. It's an inexperienced quarterback making his first start in Kinnick Stadium against Phil Parker. I mean, do we really need to go over a bunch of these numbers? Like, this is a terrible situation. Penn State is going to be forced to run the football a lot. Iowa's defense is number 3 in yards allowed per rush. They're number 32 in rushing success allowed, number 20 in rushing explosiveness allowed, number 23 in offensive line yards allowed, number 27 in stuff rate. On the other side, Iowa cannot throw the football to save their lives. But Penn State's defense has not been great against the run. Number 81 in rushing success allowed, Iowa's offense is number 21. Iowa's offense, number 45 in PPA per rush. Penn State's defense, number 62. Iowa, number 11 in offensive line yards. Penn State's defense, number 39. Iowa's offense, number 9 in stuff rate allowed. Penn State's defense, number 47. Iowa is going to be able to run the football. Kirk Ferentz is going to play this in a phone booth. And who do you think is going to crack under pressure at the end of a tight game? I mean, it seems pretty easy to me. I don't expect any big bump from Penn State this week, and maybe I'm crazy, but I will take Iowa minus 2.5 at home. Kinnick at night is a different beast. I think Iowa has been playing significantly better, and that might be putting it mildly. I will say that. So give me the Hawkeyes here. Iowa minus 2.5.
Why struggle doing everything yourself? On Fiverr, you can hire professionals for just about anything. Marketing, editing, design, and more. Save time, get it done right. Click the link in the description to get started.
We got two games left. Again, if you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe to the channel, like the video, jump in the comments. I want to know your picks on these games. Which games did you think were the biggest this week? These were, to me, the 10 biggest, and maybe it was the 10 most interesting. I think that might be the best way. Don't forget, buymeacoffee.com/winningcures, or take the easy route, go to bettingcfb.com. Yeah, support this one-man show. That's the easy way to put it. We move over to the Mountain West, 2:30 p.m. Central Time on FS1, and maybe a Mountain West championship precursor? Maybe this is round one? UNLV is currently undefeated. They certainly have not looked like it. The defense has been atrocious, but regardless, they're going to the Blue Turf. UNLV is an 11.5-point road dog, total of 63.5. Boise won 29-24 in Las Vegas last year, and then they won 21-7 on the Blue Turf in the MWC title game last year. Boise has won 9 straight against UNLV. They are 3-0 against the spread against the Rebels in the past two seasons. UNLV, they have covered 8 straight as a road dog. They are 14-3 against the spread in the last 17 as a road dog. And they are 22-6 against the spread in the last 28 on the road overall. And that is through multiple coaches. They know what they're doing. This is a program that has built itself up to be road dogs, road warriors, if you will. My projected stat spread has Boise favored by 5. The power rating has Boise by almost 8. My last 4 weeks numbers have UNLV by 4.74. Now, that does include Boise's trip to Notre Dame, which explains the discrepancy in strength of schedule, right? Boise number 39, UNLV number 131. UNLV has played a lot of garbage, but they have figured out how to beat the garbage. They have shown up and won all of their clunkers, and now they're in a massive, massive spot. As far as a head coach is concerned, I would prefer Dan Mullen here. Dan Mullen understands how to coach as a dog. UNLV is not a great football team. Not even close to that. And yeah, they're going on the road to Boise, where Boise is typically pretty good. But Boise has not been a covering machine at home by any stretch, and especially not by these numbers. 11.5 is kind of crazy. Let's look at some numbers on this. Boise's defense, number 124 in defensive success rate, number 107 against the pass, number 129 against the run. That's, you would say that's not very good against a Boise team, except that Boise is only number 77 in offensive success rate, number 51 against the pass, or not against, excuse me, number 51 passing, number 93 rushing. Boise is number 80 in offensive line yards, number 100 in stuff rate, and no, UNLV is not any good at stopping any of that. UNLV's defense, though, it's somewhat decent against the pass. And one thing to pay attention to is the fact that Boise is number 48 in turnover margin. They're number 81 in giveaways per game, number 28 in takeaways. UNLV is number 2 in takeaways per game. They're number 2 in the country in turnover margin, which has certainly played into their really, really hot start here. But they are number 22 in interceptions per pass attempt. Boise is number 67 in interceptions thrown per pass attempt. So that's something to pay attention to. UNLV, also not very good against the run. Number 129 in PPA allowed per rush. Number 129 in rushing success rate allowed. But they are number 22 in fumbles gained per rush attempt. Boise is number 69 in that on offense. On the other side of the ball, UNLV's offense has figured some things out. They're pretty good. Number 25 PPA per rush, number 31 PPA per pass. They are 28th in passing success rate. They are number 47 in rushing success rate. Where you can take the most advantage of Boise is running the football. And that's what UNLV likes to do. And they're 51st in rush rate in the country. Over 54% of the time do they run the football. Boise, number 110 in PPA allowed per rush. Number 105 in yards allowed per rush. Number 135 in rushing explosiveness allowed. There are big plays to be had against this Boise defense. The other part of this is, yeah, Boise doesn't really let you get into scoring position very often. Scoring opportunity is when a team gets a first down inside the opponent's 40-yard line. UNLV is only number 69 in scoring opportunities per game, but they are number 26 in points per scoring opportunity. That means they're good at finishing drives. Boise is not good at stopping you once you get down there. They're number 29 in scoring opportunities allowed per game, number 132 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. On the other side, Boise, great at getting down there. Number 9 in scoring opportunities per game, 7.33 drives per game where they get a first down inside the opponent 40. Number 105 in points per scoring opportunity. Now, UNLV's defense is not great at stopping at their number 77. That's at least putting up some kind of a roadblock here, right? Boise gets down there and they just crap all over themselves. If there's a team that I will trust here, both of them, by the way, ranked outside the top 125 in penalties per game, so I don't expect that to be a big part of this. You know, Boise number 45 in five factors rank. UNLV is number 84. UNLV always covers on the road. Always covers on the road. And no, they do not cover against Boise, at least in the last couple of years. This ain't the same Boise team. They're just not. I can't trust this team. UNLV comes up with clutch plays time and time again. I don't know how they do it, but I'm not stopping now. Give me the Rebels on the road, plus 11.5. That number is disrespectful to Dan Mullen. Last game of the week for us, as far as the 10 games, we go to the Sun Belt. James Madison hosting Old Dominion. Old Dominion got taken behind the woodshed by Marshall last week. And Marshall is a team that Old Dominion had never beaten before. Were they looking ahead? Who's to say? Who's to say? Old Dominion still has really good advanced stats. Let's take a look and see what we got here. James Madison won 35-32 over Old Dominion last year. James Madison is 3-0 straight up against Old Dominion, but they are 1-1-1 against the spread against the Monarchs. Old Dominion 10-3 against the spread as a conference road dog since 2022. James Madison only 5-4 against the spread as a home favorite under Bob Chesney. James Madison did lose to Louisville earlier in the year. Old Dominion is now 4-2 straight up after that loss to Marshall last week, but they're both 4-2 against the spread so far this year. Old Dominion, number 29 in five factors rank. James Madison, number 39. James Madison is not great on offense. Big part of this is the fact that they cannot throw the football. They're number 111 in PPA per pass, number 130 in yards per pass attempt. They're number 122 in QBR. Old Dominion is number 21, 9, and 15 in those stats. But James Madison only throws the ball 39% of the time. That's number 123 in the country in pass rate. They are number 14 in the country in rush rate. They run the ball almost 61% of the time. They are 42nd in PPA per rush, number 26 in yards per rush. But they're still, you know, number 63 in rushing explosive, 45 in rushing success. Old Dominion's defense is number 99 in rushing success rate allowed. They're number 22 in rushing explosiveness allowed, so you're not going to break a whole lot of long runs on them. But on a down-to-down basis, you can absolutely move the football on them. There could be some crazy shenanigans going on in this game. Both are outside the top 105 in special teams efficiency. That ain't good. Both are outside the top 100 in overall talent rank. Old Dominion's offense is the strength of their team. James Madison's defense is the strength of their team. And Old Dominion's defense, you know, has been pretty good, but obviously you see there are weaknesses there. Old Dominion is number 13 in yards per pass attempt. James Madison's defense is number 15. Old Dominion number 1 in the country in yards per rush attempt. James Madison's defense is number 10. This is such an interesting spot because it feels like Old Dominion didn't really care about the Marshall game. They might have been looking ahead a little bit. Well, James Madison didn't exactly look great against Louisiana last week. And, you know, the number on this is James Madison favored by 1.5 to 2.5 with a total of 47.5 on this. It's on ESPNU, by the way, 2:30 p.m. Central Time. My stats have James Madison by 3. My power rating has James Madison by 1.7. My last 4 weeks projected number has James Madison by 1.5. So I am right in line with the number. James Madison has not played a very strong strength of schedule at this point. And while my numbers all say that James Madison is going to win the game, I mean, they are at home, I think Old Dominion was looking ahead. Yeah, James Madison might be able to run the football here, but I kind of trust Old Dominion's offense a little more, even against that James Madison defense. Old Dominion, number 135 in giveaways per game. That's certainly something to pay attention to, but they're also number 17 in takeaways per game. Even if Old Dominion tries to turn the football over, James Madison is only number 106 in takeaways per game, and they're number 81 in giveaways per game. Both teams like to turn it over. Only Old Dominion is really good at taking the ball away. I was fully expecting to come on here and just say, I'm going to take Old Dominion. But the more you look at some of these numbers, we've seen this over and over and over again. James Madison has lost at home several. Stick with my gut. Old Dominion has been counting on this game for a while. I like what they're doing on offense. Kevin Decker is their offense coordinator. I think that they're going to be able to put up points here because I don't think that James Madison has played very good competition. And when they did, Louisville was able to break some stuff open on them. I'm not saying that Old Dominion is comparable to Louisville, but as far as what they do on offense, they're going to be able to find some holes in that James Madison defense. I'll take ODU. Give me the Monarchs on the road. Best number I can get is 2.5. I'll take Old Dominion plus 2.5. All right, let's recap it right quick. These are the picks for the 10 biggest games this week. BYU plus 3.5. Tennessee plus 9.5. USC plus 9.5. Ole Miss plus 7.5. Texas Tech minus 11.5. Michigan minus 5.5. TCU minus 3. Iowa minus 2.5. UNLV plus 11.5. Old Dominion plus 2.5. If you haven't already, you've heard me say it a couple of times. Go to buymeacoffee.com/winningcures. You can help support the show there. $5 a month, $50 for the year. You get all the stat sheets. You get the matchup comparison tool. You get all of my projected, you get all my advanced analytics that I provide during the week, along with my official plays, if you feel like fading them, because that's what they're worth right now over the past 3 weeks. Not been good. It was a good start to the season. I've been reading the room wrong as of late. Regardless, I'll be completely transparent with you. I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm doing. Go and check it out. Buymeacoffee.com/winningcures. Also, subscribe to the channel. Like the video. Jump in the comments. I like talking to you guys. I'd be doing this anyway. But if you're going to do it, might as well turn it into a community, right? So, it's a one-man show. I have fun with it. Hopefully you do as well. And with that said, let's get out of here. We got another one coming tomorrow. I'm going to go over 15 more games. Quick hitters. You guys know how we roll with that. But yes, stay subscribed. Do your thing. With that said, take care of yourself. Take care of each other. God bless college football. And hopefully all of your tickets cash this week. Thanks for listening to Winning Cures Everything. Subscribe, leave a review or comment. Follow at GaryWCE on X. And check out the web store.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.